Blog Talk Radio.
The following is suitable for all audiences. Tell your friends, tell your family, tell your loved ones, tell your hated ones, tell even your mortal enemies about all this. You are tuning into something important. This is cocooning from the microphone here. You are listening to DJ Butterfly Feces, the one and only Accept No Substitutions. And with me tonight, hopefully, is Comic Organic. Okay. Organic, are you there?
I'm here. You keep talking about, tell your friends, tell your enemies. Who really tell your enemies anything to help them?
I'm trying to tell everybody.
Who say enemies enjoy stuff? You don't normally do that. No, this is something to the rule. Yes, a few people do that. A majority of people don't tell their enemies anything. But you're hoping the enemies don't know. So they can enjoy it by themselves and it's and have an advantage over the enemies. That's another conversation, another moment. My name is Comedy Organic, okay? And you're listening to Cooling from the Microphone, hosted by DJ Butterfly Feces. The Feces is the moment where he's appreciating of the dessert of your problems that comes out as a feces. The name of solution success as that element. What's a life turning around? Life turning around. Speaking for itself. Feces, how's everything going with yourself?
Everything is going fine now. Look, I got to tell you, you remember there was a time we were going all over the planet, all over the globe, scouring, looking to pick up trash and pick up people. That was something. No, now, we're off the road. Things feel a little bit more calm.
Stop acting like it's that easy to be successful. And not realize the things you have to realize. Now, you hear that noise. I apologize for those that possibly heard it.
All right. Good. It is 7:02 here on the program here on Kakuna for the Microphone. And we invite you to tune in. Call in. Let us know what you're thinking and feeling. Because remember, this is a cause everyone needs to get behind. Come on. Get involved with the cause. We're here at 1-515-605-9709. That's 1-515-605-9709. All right. Let me start from the top. I was personally a resident. I spent most of my life in McKinleyville, California. McKinleyville, where horses have the right of way. That's our motto. And you know what? You could do everything you wanted to do in McKinleyville. We were in Northern California, so we had snow. But we also had a beach. And we also had trails to walk upon, to hike upon, even on horseback. You could snow, ski, sled, snowboard, toboggan. You could also surf, tan, windsail, parasail, boogie board. You could take a long hike on foot or by horse. Yeah, we had it all. We had everything there was to have in McKinleyville. I partook in all of it. If there was something to do in McKinleyville, I did it. One thing I didn't do, I didn't spend a lot of time really studying and hitting the books. Why? Well, I was too busy enjoying life. You hear the phrase, get high on life? That's what I was doing. I was getting bombed on life. I was doing everything there was to do there. I was indulging and enjoying it all. I was basically living up so much. I didn't think that much about the future. You understand how it is. You know, when you're a kid, you think it's forever from now. You think you're going to be a kid forever. You think even when you're an adult, you're still going to be a kid. You're going to be interested in the same kid stuff, not that you're into now. You hold on to that belief, that ideal, that dream. Don't think that much about the future, but it comes, it happens anyway, it really does. And you wake up, and you realize, you're really not young anymore. No, not only are you not young, but everything has changed. All that stuff your parents told you has come true. Now it applies. Now you should be listening. That's a fact. And it's actually kind of terrifying because, once again, I was the C average student. I was the guy who sat back and coasted and relaxed and kind of stopped and smelled the flowers. And there's not necessarily a lot of demand for somebody like that. I tell you, I'd finally graduated high school. I was finally out. I knew everybody, and the sad thing is we all thought we'd know each other forever. But even they went on to do other things. They went on to other places. Some of them left McKinleyville. And there I was, thinking about the future. Now, I went to my father. I thought about college. But if you don't have ideal grades, they'll let you as long as you got the money. We didn't have that. I was all racking my brain thinking, what to do? Something interesting to do. Well, I thought about getting a blog talk radio show like this one, and I had it for a while. I had it before I basically met Organic OK. And even though I go by the name DJ Butterfly Feces, I wasn't just spinning discs. I wasn't just basically letting the records do all the talking for me. I talked. I went on about, really, what was wrong with the world? There will be a better place if we just, you know, those soapbox guys. I don't think anybody was listening. In fact, I know they weren't. I told people to, but I don't even think they knew how. They didn't want to. I don't even think they knew how, even if they did. I mean, internet radio, I understood how to set up a show, but how do you listen? You know, we've been on this thing for a while. I still don't know how that works. You know? I mean, honestly, it's not like terrestrial radio, regular radio, where you just plug it in and turn it on, be it in your car or your alarm clock or your shower radio. It was something different. And I got to tell you, perplexed, I was confused. I didn't know. Finally, my free account ran out, and there I was. Without something to do, all I could think about was, what am I going to do now? I stayed in this one-bedroom apartment with my parents. That's what I called me staying in the room. My father said I couldn't even call it an apartment because technically I wasn't even paying rent for it. I thought about getting a job. Really, I did. I thought, when I was a kid, I thought I'll do any job as long as it makes the money, whatever. As long as I can continue to stop and enjoy and indulge myself. But the truth is, no, I mean this. This is true. This is a fact. This is something you all need to listen very carefully. There were no jobs available. There weren't other places available to, like, live in. See, McKinleyville has everything going on, so much that when people come here, they never want to leave. A lot of the residents stayed here. There weren't jobs and places available. And you know what? There were people who painfully had to force themselves to leave town. My father told me, look, people go where the work is, even if it means they have to leave their home or whatever. They have to move someplace else. They go where there is work. And all I could think of was, dang, I don't want to leave McKinley. Would you? Would any of you? I'm like the old story about that guy who basically had, it was all coming to him while he was a kid. But then he grew up and then it all disappeared. Now in real life, he's going nowhere. Anyway, I've been living with my parents for a while and they said they let me stay as long as I did because I was their son. But then finally, eventually, around the holidays, no less, my father said he wanted me out. He wanted me to go. I wondered, why around the holidays? And he told me, we can't afford to take care of you. Enough is enough. You're an adult. You should be living here. We gave you some more time to basically get your bearings, but now is the time when you're supposed to get out of here and leave and do your own thing. Maintain. I think the real reason my parents let me stay as long as I did, because otherwise they'd have to talk to each other. You know how a lot of parents, you know, a lot of parents, they want their kids to go so that they have time to enjoy just the two of them. My parents didn't want that. They hated the sight and sound of each other. I believe they got married because nobody else would have them. And I believe they let me stay as long as I did because otherwise they'd have to talk to each other. And they didn't want that. I mean it. But finally, around the holidays, no less, I was given the heave-ho. I was given my notice. No, he didn't even give me time to basically say, I'm giving you some time to find a place and a job. No, he just said, go. Went to my room. I packed my bag. And the truth is, I basically just, the bag wasn't even half full. I had that, the clothes on my back, and I walked out of the house. I stopped to look back at it. And I was in shock. What's going to happen to me now? Am I going to become one more statistic in the homeless vagrants who have been thrown out on the streets, left to die and whatever? People who are thrown out like trash, am I going to become one more of them? There's a real problem. There's a real epidemic that is going on here. There's a real something that has been, am I going to be one of them? I mean, dang. Organic, what would you do?
What would I do? It's different evaluated moments that we are not actually based in circumstances are locked in as a monolithic experience, right? We have different experiences, and some of us relate more than others based on the repetition of flexible moments that engage our wisdom to be more highlighted. For purpose moments where you can really identify with that outcome with unique connecting, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's how you identify with certain people that just got exceptional understanding about what you're dealing with, and it can resonate with you on another moment within that time moment that you can appreciate really, truly. Thank you. It's Comedy Organic, okay.
Wow, that was like a poem. Anywho, there I was basically walking the street. I passed Hammond Trail. I went in. Hammond Trail. It's a place we have in McKinleyville. And you know what? I was just thinking to myself, I'm taking a hike like all times. Maybe I'll just keep hiking around doing what I've been doing as a homeless person, the same way I did when I was with my parents. I'll be doing all the same, you know, what have you. I'll be doing all that. And I happened to pass by. I went up to the campsite, you know, where people can't put their tents up and whatever, where they have like the barbecue area, you know, where they cook the food and whatnot. There I was, and there you were. There you and the rest of the gang was. Now, I didn't know you yet. I was in shock, but you know what I did? I went over there. I thought I knew everybody in town, so I said, hello, remember I gave you my real name. And then what happened was, you said, I'm organic, okay. I wasn't quite sure I heard right. You told me that's your moniker. And then I asked, what's going on with you guys? I said, and you said, you told me how you were going around all over the planet, so to speak, picking trash up, helping the community, and, you know, getting homeless people off the streets and whatnot. Taking it back. I was. So basically, you asked me to join. He asked me to join him. He asked me to come aboard, that he'd pay for everything, that he'd pay for us to go traveling the world, picking up garbage and picking people up off the streets. Get up there. You gave me a motto. You gave me the handle DJ Butterfly Feces. I wasn't really in love with it. I'm still not crazy about it. It sounds like the kind of name kids give another kid in the schoolyard just to pick on him. but I went with it. It's 7:15 here on the program, cocooning from the microphone, here with DJ Butterfly PCs and Organic OK. Let us know what you're thinking, what's going on with you, all right? We're here. We're listening. We're here at 1-515-605-9709. That's 1-515-605-9709. All right. Now, before I knew it, you basically had shaken my hand, dubbed me Butterfly Feces, and welcomed me in. Invited me to travel the world around with him, follow around going, picking up garbage, picking up people, making the world better, saving the global problem. I was shocked. I mean, I never thought saw myself as doing something really all that important. I thought I was insignificant to the big picture. But how I was going to be doing this. At first, I was skeptical. Is this guy playing games? He could just be telling me anything. We stayed up. We talked throughout the night. And then in the morning, once again around the holidays, we left. He flew me out to Vicenza, Italy. Vicenza, Italy. We spent New Year's Eve and New Year's Day in Italy. In glorious Italy. And you know what? The city looked very different for the first time I was someplace else that wasn't McKinleyville, California. I was taken aback. I was moved. I was changed. I was something. And the truth was, I felt good about myself. More than good. I felt great. I felt like I was going somewhere, doing something, being something. We're there for New Year's Eve and New Year's Day. They're something a little different. Let me tell you, Italian food in Italy, you can taste the difference. Spent most of our time trying to help people who didn't have any food at all. We picked up a lot of their garbage. I spent time in this basically condemned building where some people would live in. There were skateboarders and whatever. They were spraying and whatever. And the same problems America had. Now, I've been following our show. We were last in Melbourne, Victoria, Australia. I asked Organic where we're headed, and he told me, Sydney. I was like, who's Sydney? You said, no, Sydney, Australia. It's like the capital of Australia, the major city, the big one. They're going to have the biggest homeless population problem there is. They're going to have the biggest homeless population problem. They are. So sure enough, we got there. Once again, the city looked gorgeous. I even checked out the Sydney Opera House and all that. I mean, I looked at them, but I knew we were here for a job. We were here to basically pick up trash. And I was lugging the garbage. And once again, I asked him the same question I've been asking him for a lot of our trip. Isn't just picking up all this garbage for them going to make them lazy? If they don't have to live in the filth that they create, they think someone's always going to clean up for them. They're going to they're just going to make new garbage. It's like a kid that you're always cleaning up after. He never learns how to clean up his own mess. He never learns how to take care of himself. I mean, honestly. You said, we're here for a job. A job, you know, just... All right. I looked around and I saw people sleeping in the garbage, basically, and whatnot and whatever. I saw them littered around the street and whatever. It was like every place we've ever been to. I saw an apartment building. No, it wasn't an apartment building. It was a homeless shelter that had been shut down. I was in, my hands were clenched, balled up fists. I was so angry. Because this just isn't right. Honestly, I just couldn't take it. I mean, what the hell? I thought we needed to help these people. I know. But how do we do that? I mean, really? We're really making that big a difference? Once again, I was told to be quiet and just to pick up the garbage and keep my editorials to myself, at least until we made this show. I talked to one of the, I talked to them out there. I talked to some of the homeless people. I told them our story, whatever. I talked to them about, you know, being out here, what it was like. What's it like? I asked. They call it sleeping rough. That's what they call somebody who's sleeping homeless without a roof and four walls. That's what they call somebody who, like them, is just barely getting by. I was mad. I wanted to do something. I just want to sit around and basically just, we got to do something. We picked up a lot of garbage, a lot, and then I made a big statement, a big sort of stink about basically how things were bad for the homeless out here. They were more than bad. They were awful. And how, really, a city like this should be doing what it can to create more jobs and keep people off the street. Honestly. Now, I talked to them. I basically said, honestly, we need to construct this basically broken down, you know, homeless shelter. It needs to come back up. It needs to be bigger. There needs to be something done so these people are off the streets. They're good people. They're decent people. One of them just told me, sorry, mate, it's natural selection, you know. I mean, there's just so many people. Some of them, there's always some who aren't going to make the cut. Some people just go away. Just how it is. And that's any way you go. I know he was right, but damn it, it didn't have to be like this. All I could think about now was, dang it, if enough people felt like, if they really did know about this, they would do something. If enough people knew, they would get by. I mean, people need to realize something. This is something I told them, and I'm telling you right now. I'm telling you this. If we do something about this problem, if we stop this problem, we can stop it from ever happening to us. Make sure none of us wind up on the street. No home, no job, sleeping rough, as they call it. Really. It's as honest as any one of us can be next. The system is like a broken toilet. What to do? There needs to be some sort of, I don't know, something. Once again, I asked Organic about maybe helping, giving them a shave, cutting their whiskers and nails and whatever. We did a little bit about that. You know, we had this kid. It was tough for us to sterilize it each time, but we did it. We made things a little bit better. And sure enough, we went to this housing commission. We went to the people in charge of the homeless housing, and we asked them to take in a few more people. Why? Because we said so. We were kind enough to pick all this garbage up off the streets. They said, thank you, but it's not that simple. We're already overbooked. To take them in, we have to kick some people out. And that doesn't really fix the homeless problem. That just moves it around a little. Just causes it to circulate. Like a circle. Dang, I thought. We could try taking some of them with us, but Inez Organic has told me we're supposed to be fixing the problem at the heart, whatever. Organic doesn't have the money to finance taking care of all these people. And if he ever did, they'd all come after him. They'd all be basically trying until he'd be overwhelmed, swamping the lifeboat until we all went to the bottom. Dang. What to do? The least I could do is sit there and talk with them. I offered to buy them a meal. I offered to buy them access to cigarettes, which they had and they would share with each other. They passed them around, you know, like a joint, you know, because they wanted to get cold, because they were cold, they were without means. And dang it all, we talked about everything we'd been through. I told them my story. One of them told me, looked me in the eyes and said, "You're doing the Lord's work. Keep on doing it. Don't ever give up. If you guys do this enough, there's going to be some change." I like to think we already made some change. We did make some change, didn't we, Organic? I know it was an old story, but I actually told them about this woman I knew. Actually, I didn't really even know her. We were in Seattle. It was basically, that's a place which has a homeless population where it snows. It snows in Seattle. It rains. Well, it doesn't rain, it snows. Hard. And you know what? No, not chicken butt. No, guess what? She was a sick woman who basically had gone blind and deaf all her time on the streets. She caught some kind of disease. I tried to help her. I really, truly did. I tried to help her. But the truth is, I couldn't. I just watched. She died. And I told them, I made a statement about how we helped pick up all that garbage, and the news basically made a big stink about her death. We did all that until they had to make a change. We left, but I heard not only were they taking more people in, but they actually brought by those huge homeless tents, you know, those huge tents that people sleep in bunk beds in, and they're like circus tents, whatever. Homeless people were sleeping, living in them. I believe it's because we actually helped make a difference. I know it sounds proud, but I'm not bragging. See, that wasn't our victory. It was hers. That was for her. But this woman who was thrown on the street until she caught some terrible disease and died. And I told them, I want to do something special for that in Sydney. I know, once again, thankfully this is a place where it snows. But I want to do something to help all this, to make this better. I'm going to make a statement before I leave. I'm going to make a difference. I want to thank you all for listening to Kakuna from the microphone here with DJ Butterfly Feces and Comedy Organic OK. You can pick up all our shows off blogtalkradio.com. And we invite you to get involved with the cause. There is a homeless epidemic in the world, and we're going to do something about it. Let's start with what's going on here in America. Let's do that. But once again, let's do something. Please, I beg you. I beg of you. I want to thank you all for tuning in. Thank every single one of you for your existence. Thank you for being part of it all. I thank you. Those on the streets who are fighting to survive, they thank you. Thank you. And good night.